This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 10 p.m. hour on The Fan in New York, I got two more hours to do what I do best. Dial 888-808-1019. You can get on the line. I got people waiting. Let's get to them. Scott in Shelton, Connecticut. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show, especially with the fact that you're a Yankee and a Cowboy fan like myself. Eli Manning will eventually make the Hall of Fame, but my question for you, and then I have another one if you give me a minute, was do you think that when Eli was drafted and was supposed to go to the San Diego Chargers, and he said, no, I don't want to play there, do you think with him going to New York there was some animosity with the NFL that maybe carried all the way over for the end of his career? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, no, sir. I don't think so. I think the NFL liked it, loved it, especially how it turned out. I was listening to Evan and Tiki today and hearing them talk about, you know, the NFL and it being collectively bargained and how success for one team is good for the next. I don't think that there's any grudges. I think it worked out great for, you know, the NFL. They have offices in New York. They want the Jets and Giants to be good. They want the Jets and Giants on prime time. No, Eli forcing his way here and winning Super Bowls here, I think they were all on board. I don't think there's any animosity. I just think, like I was saying before, they hate us because they ain't us. They look at New York and they're a little envious, and the way that we talk about our own, they don't necessarily agree with. And the phrase that I used was, you know, we look at those two Super Bowls like gems. They look at them like flukes.
And I think that's the same with some cowboy bias. Look how long it took to get Drew Pearson in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Drew Pearson took forever for him, which leads me to my second question. You know, you have the Chicago Bears, the Super Bowl shuffle, that team in the 80s. They had like five or six guys that are in the Hall of Fame from that one team that won the Super Bowl. And you have the Cowboys who won three. Of course, you got the triplets. Then you had Larry Allen for 1 year. You had Haley for a few years, but no Darren Woodson. I want to know what's going on in one of those meetings that the guy changed positions from linebacker to safety, all-time leading tackler, and he can't get in the Hall of Fame. He's been like a 3-4 year finalist. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he should be in. He's got rings. He's been a face of the league. He's been present. He's been around. And his name popped up the same night with Eli because people were speaking out about him getting snubbed, specifically Dallas Cowboys fans and writers and reporters and people in Dallas. Yeah. Hey, it's just, I think the further we get away from the time you played, other guys jump in line ahead of you, fair or not. It just is what it is. But no, you're right about that, and even mentioning the Bears team, and it's all very subjective. It depends on who's voting. It depends on timing. And like I said, I hate that they treat it like a club. Like, you know, all the clubs at full capacity. It's not at full capacity. There's unlimited capacity. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not.
those Chicago Bear guys, I mean, they were very good players, but to have five or six of them on a team that you only had one Super Bowl, come on. I mean, there's an issue there.
Right.
And, you know, Eli also, on the other side of the ball, he had Strahan, who was a great Hall of Famer, and those two Super Bowls Eli won were based on his defense. I know he made some phenomenal, all-time great highlight memory plays, but, you know, his defense beat those Patriot teams.
Yeah, it certainly was the main thing, but I mean, the quarterback position is the hardest position to play, and we've seen so many guys not get it done, not come through in those moments, and for Eli to be ice cold and get it done, I would hope that that carries more weight, but clearly it doesn't. Thanks for the call, Scott. 888-808-1019. Yeah, you know, it was painful for Darren Woodson. I saw a quote that he feels like it's a failure, falling short of the Hall of Fame again, and that's what's tough, too. You know, these guys work their asses off to be the best of the best on the football field, and then when they leave it behind, you know, they all are kind of hoping and wishing for this day where they get honored like that, and you know, it gets dangled in front of them and taken away from them. And it's not fair. There's no like exact rhyme or reason why who gets in and who doesn't. Like I say, it's subjective. It depends on who's voting and who's from where and what they experienced, what they thought. That's another thing too. Like our experiences here in New York and New Jersey, just in life and sports in general, are different than people in other parts of the country. It has something to do with it. Let's go to Lakewood and talk to Moses next on the Fan. What's up, man?
What's up, Keith? How's it going?
You know, hanging in there. Time is flying by. Less than 2 hours left in the show. Thanks for calling again.
So I don't know why it's a debate. First of all, with this whole Strahan thing, it's business. He doesn't have to have loyalty to the Giants. It's business. Another thing. Next, you got to trade back. You get more assets. You get Jackson Dart. He'll throw darts to Malik. And then another thing, let's go Devils.
Yeah, let's go Devils. Four Nations face-off coming up. I'll be on late tomorrow, so you know we'll tap in with that. I think the Devils are in a good place. Hope that Markey is good to go when we come back from the break and the Devils make some moves before the deadline, and you know we push forward.
Jake Evans.
We push forward and hopefully make a run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Going back to what you said about Malik Nabers, what did you say? Trade up? You said something
trade
about
back,
trade back.
You draft Jackson Dart and you'll have more assets. Usually quality is better than quantity, but in this case, even if you have Patrick Mahomes and the Giants, he'll get destroyed. You don't have a Noah line. It's just a waste. You get more draft picks. You get a solid O-line. You have Jackson Dart. He's good. He'll throw darts to Malik Nabers.
I like what you did there, Moses. See, I think there's just like an order of operations here. I think they've done enough research on Shedeur Sanders, and they like him enough that if he's there, they're taking him. So if Shedeur Sanders is there at three, he will be drafted by the Giants. If he's not there at three, you know, then you trade back. I don't think you have to take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Hold on, give me a second to finish the thought. You don't take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter because you have to take a quarterback. You trade back, and if you like Jackson Dart, which we don't know or not, like you can watch and wait to see how he falls, where he falls to, and maybe you have two picks in the draft. Maybe you can take the best player available and Jackson Dart. I think there's options for them if they miss out on Shedeur, but I think there's also a chance for them to land. They just need to be prepared to do what's best. Go on.
And also, if you do draft Shedeur, the lights are bright enough under New York with, and also the whole Deion Sanders thing is just too much like extra stuff to go with it. Why do you want it? He's obviously not the best player in draft.
Why do you want it?
You don't want all Deion Sanders stuff. Like, and he's
Deion Sanders is going to be in Colorado during the season. He's going to be coaching every Saturday for the Buffaloes. He's not going to be that much of a distraction. Thanks for the call, Moses. 888-808-1019. I talked about this with Shedeur and the appeal of Shedeur in New York. He's already a millionaire. He's already got fancy watches, cars. He's already rich. This is not going to be anything different for him. He talked about taking his NFL money and putting it into the NIL collective back at Colorado so that his dad can continue to get good players to come there. This is a kid that came to New York and was throwing in the street with Malik Nabers. This is a kid that came to New York and decided to shop till he dropped. This guy hit all of the designer Louis Vuitton. He went shopping while he was here for the Heisman Trophy. I think that, like, it won't be too big for him. I was listening to a couple interviews from his dad at Radio Row where he said his son has been training and preparing his whole life for this, and he's ready to be the face of a franchise. This is Deion's kid. He has been around the NFL. He has met a ton of NFL players. The kid is NFL ready. I do think it's going to be an adjustment for him in the NFL as far as the speed of the game and adjusting his game to NFL play. He's been at Colorado. He's been at Jackson State. That is not NFL level at all. He also hasn't really had an offensive line, so I think he has a propensity to flee and get out of the pocket and try and spin out and find grass to set his feet and then chuck the ball. I think he holds on to the ball too long. We saw Caleb Williams this year try to do a lot of that Houdini stuff, spinning out. Like, it can get you in trouble. And Shedeur Sanders is not very fleet of foot. He's not fast. He's not shifty. He's not like that. He wants to throw the ball. I don't think he'd be a bad pick for the Giants because of the glitz and the glamour. And the that's what you want. It's New York. You want a star to come in here. You want to sell jerseys. John Mara was talking about Saquon Barkley is the most popular player by far. Okay, you lose the most popular player. You need to replace that with a Shedeur Sanders, who I think just broke 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He's got millions of followers. There are young kids across this country wearing Colorado number 2 jerseys, wearing his merch. Like, he comes in with his own fan base. He comes in to New York, and I don't think it's too big for him. If anything, right, we're watching the Giants be mocked by their legends. We're watching the Giants have the worst season ever. Like, this is the injection of star power that they need right now. To me, I think it's either Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter. Both of those kids are rich and famous and ready, and they're football players. Like, they care most about football. They're going to lock in and play football. Let's go to CJ in Brooklyn on the fan next. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
No worries. Yeah, no, I'm just listening in, hearing a lot of the points being made about the Giants as far as the quarterback situation going forward. And I guess I have 2 points more towards their plans for the draft and then for free agency. Personally, I think that free agency has to be won when it comes to the quarterback decision. And I think if that means going and getting a Matthew Stafford to hold it down for a year for whoever you draft this year or maybe even next year, I mean, I think that has to be, you know, priority number one, because obviously free agency comes before the draft. And even if we don't get him, then, you know, we got to really, you know, consider, like you said, going for just
not to cut you off. It's different, right? Like, to get Stafford, that's a trade that you can't just sign him as a free agent. It takes two to tango. That would take the Rams to be willing to accept whatever package the Giants send to them. Go on.
Yeah, but it definitely makes sense. And I think the Steelers quarterback, gave my name now, but you were talking about getting him. I think one
Justin
of those two
Fields.
Would be a perfect, Justin Fields would be a perfect fit to hold it down. And at the very least with Fields, to kind of see where he is at in his development, because I think, you know, quarterbacks only have so much time before they're quote unquote like ruined in the league if they don't get the right coaching. And I think Dable would be the right guy to kind of help develop him and see where he's at, because I don't think if we do take him and let's say he doesn't develop, let's say we only have like 5 or 6 wins with him this coming season, I don't think that should stop us from double dipping and seeing another quarterback in next year's draft. I think we need to take multiple stabs at this kind of quarterback search over the next 2 years, specifically if we don't get a chance to draft Shedeur or Cam Ward, just because I think if we stay put at number 3, you know how it is. Every draft season, everyone's down on the quarterback until draft day, and then all of a sudden somebody's jumping up to leapfrog somebody to take a quarterback, and there's 3 or 4 quarterbacks flying off the board. So I think the Giants will have to maneuver one way or the other, whether it be through free agency, through trades, or through the actual draft to get their guy, just because a lot of teams are obviously, you know, hungry as well for quarterbacks.
Thanks for the call, CJ. Yeah, I have a hard time imagining Joe Shane and Brian Daboll drafting a quarterback, which they 100% will, whether it's first round, second round, late first round, early second round, whatever. I have a hard time imagining them drafting a quarterback in this class, losing, and then having a top five pick in next year's class to do it again. It won't be them. It'll be a new regime. It'll be a new GM, new head coach, and then they'll get to restart and pick whoever that quarterback might be. I know a lot of you Giants fans are out there dreaming of Archie Manning. Maybe. I don't see, like, they won't get multiple stabs at it. It is now or never for these guys. These guys should have been fired after this year. They have to draft a quarterback. They got to develop that quarterback, and they need to sign a quarterback in free agency or trade for one that has NFL experience so that this offense can move the ball and look like an NFL offense so that they have a chance to compete. You know, 3 years ago when they did steal games, it was based off of Wink Martindale's defense, some timely turnovers and stops, and really Saquon Barkley being a 30-carry-a-game guy that can give you time of possession, that can move the sticks for you, that can get you a two-point conversion when you need it. They don't have that now. You know, and Daniel Jones obviously was able to make enough throws and run the ball that year as well for them to steal games in the fourth quarter, close games in the fourth quarter, one-score games. That's what the NFL is. Look at the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs got to the Super Bowl this year, and before I was talking about them, you know, having tough games against the Panthers and the Raiders, and like, they found ways to win one-score games. If you have a quarterback and you have a decent offense, you can do that. The ball just might be in your hands with 2 minutes left where you're able to drive the length of the field, kick a field goal, and win. Time expires. The Giants aren't able to do that. They haven't been able to do that in recent time. Mike is in Schenectady. Skin, neck, titty. Yes. That's what it says on the screen. Where is that?
Yes, sir. So that's about 10 minutes west of Albany.
10 minutes west of Albany? I've never been.
It's a fun town. You should come check it out if you get a chance.
I called in on
Saturday before the Super Bowl and talked to Sean a little bit.
I feel like I've heard of the name of the town before, but I've never been. What you got, Mike?
What I was going to say was tying in, I couldn't agree more with you on what you just got done saying as far as Daboll and Shane being given multiple stabs at a new quarterback. I think there's probably been some sort of conversation between Mara and Shane and Daboll, some combination of the three of them, where if he's out there telling the press that he's only got patience for about one more year, there's no way that he wants them to draft a quarterback, because otherwise it's just a rinse and repeat of what happened with Daniel Jones' experiment, where, you know, as much as you want to say about DJ's potential when he got drafted, he went too high at six. You know, there were groans and moans in the draft room when it happened. You know, clearly it didn't pan out, but we also didn't give him an offensive line to protect him whatsoever. You know, he was getting sacked just as much as he was fumbling in the beginning, and he had to deal with multiple head coaches. He had to deal with multiple offensive schemes, and it's not the ideal situation for a rookie quarterback. So to literally give Daboll and Shane the reins to pick a new quarterback at the third overall pick in the two quarterback class, sounds like, to me, if we want to give Daboll and Shane another 3 or 4 years to actually develop a quarterback, maybe have him sit behind a bridge quarterback, great. But if we're not going to do that, then we got to pass on a quarterback right now. We got to start building pieces. I think Abdul Carter is a great choice for number three. Otherwise, trade back and try to get best available offensive tackle. We need a defensive tackle. We need a corner, maybe a wide receiver in the second round, third round. Don't want to go too low on that. But, you know, I think Justin Fields is a great choice for a bridge quarterback type of thing. You know, that's basically my point. I agree with you 100% that if we give Daboll and Shane the reins, then, you know, they're obviously going to draft a quarterback because that's got the best chance of saving their jobs.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Let's clear that up. I don't know if, you know, the last couple calls might have not heard me clearly. They're going to draft a quarterback. There's nothing left to do. This year, in the 2025 draft, they won't get a second shot at it in 2026. If they're picking in the top 10, that will be a new GM, new head coach, new regime picking their quarterback of their choosing. Like when the Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen and he was a bust, and then they followed up and Cliff Kingsbury and those guys drafted Kyler Murray. Like, the year after, same year that Daniel Jones was overdrafted. I'm sure if you've listened to WFAN, you've heard countless hours of people talking about what Mike was just talking about. He never had an offensive line. He had different head coaches. He had different offensive coordinators. He was overdrafted out of Duke. He wasn't the level of quarterback. We've made a ton of excuses for Daniel Jones. He was overdrafted at 6 overall. He shouldn't have been taken there. But Shane and Dable didn't do that. They inherited that. And I always fall back on when they came in, they did not want him. When they came in, they didn't pick up his rookie option because he was coming off an injury, whatever. They didn't want him. They did not want him. They brought in Tyrod Taylor to potentially challenge him, maybe even win the job. And he wins the job, and they go on, and Dable coaches his ass off. Wink Martindale coaches his ass off. They steal enough games to go and win a first-round playoff game. That was like the worst thing that could happen. It was fool's gold. And here we go with Joe Shane and his handy-dandy GM book for dummies. He starts flipping through pages. What do I do? What do I do? I value the quarterback. I got to value the quarterback. I didn't value him when I came in. I didn't pick up his rookie option. We went through our process of looking at the film and evaluating him, and we didn't think he was that good. But now, after he won a playoff game, after he led us to victory, he's more valuable than Saquon. We must pay him. Mistake. Should have told him, test the free agent market. Should have told him and his agent the same thing you told Saquon. And here we are. Saquon is a Super Bowl champion. The Eagles just put out today the greatest single season rushing season of all time. I forget how they worded it, but when I saw that, I'm like, of course they're going to run with that. I mean, I guess, because it ended up, he's, you know, a Super Bowl champion. Greatest NFL rushing season of all time, the Philadelphia Eagles put out. 2,000 yards. Could have went and got the record, but spared the Giants. And then went on to add on yards. And I don't know the final total. Maybe that's what they're talking about. Regular season and playoffs, the combined total, and being a Super Bowl champion. That blood is on your hands, Joe Shane. That blood is on your hands, Joe Shane. And where is Daniel Jones? Rumored to be potentially the next Jets quarterback. Ralph is in Middletown on the Fan. Go for it, Ralph.
Hey, Keith, love the show. Second time calling. Just want to disagree with a previous caller on something. I'm a long-suffering Jet fan, unfortunately, but as I always say, I'm a football fan first. And him kind of poo-pooing the 86 Bears, let me tell you something. You know, I'm an older guy. I don't know how nostalgic you are with football, but that was one of the two best defenses that ever existed. Buddy Ryan was the D coordinator. It was an impenetrable wall. So every single guy that went to the Hall of Fame on that defense, even though it was 1 year, was well-deserved. The other best defense I've ever seen was the 2000 Ravens, and I would probably give the edge to the 86 Bears. It was just, it was a defensive gem, so I don't know what that call was talking about. I probably don't remember 86 too well.
I think there's just a lot of comparing and reaching going on when we get to the Hall of Fame, and what he was saying is, how come that one team has so many guys? And what you just said was why they have so many guys. They're deserving, and you can't really use that as a reason for, you know, like Eli being snubbed. Eli was snubbed first round because people don't feel like he should be in that upper echelon of first ballot Hall of Famers, and he's not.
Got it.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. I want to break right here because I do want to bring in some Yankee conversation. I have a couple Yankees calls, I think, from when I was talking about pitchers and catchers reporting and reporters asking our pitchers about facing Juan Soto. Newsflash, you don't have to ask any of the Yankees pitchers about facing Juan Soto until like mid-May. But Juan Soto's name will hover over these New York Yankees the entire season. And when I was on last night, I cautioned Yankee fans to just come in and take this season as it is. It's a new team. And there are a lot of good additions to this team, but it's a new team. It might not happen right away. And guys that we're banking on turning back the clock and being, you know, Goldschmidt being 2022 Goldschmidt, that's not a guarantee. Cody Bellinger being 2019 Cody Bellinger, not a guarantee. even young guys, Jason Dominguez being an everyday player, playing left field, leading off for the Yankees, not guaranteed, might not materialize. Even guys like Volpe and Wells taking a step forward. I love Volpe's game. He came around in the World Series, but there were times in the season last year where Volpe was one of the worst hitters on the team. It can't happen for a guy playing every day. Wells now, like, Wells has to be the everyday catcher. We were banging the table last year. Enough with Trevino. Wells should be in the lineup every day. Is he ready for that? I hope so. But there's much to be seen with this Yankees team. I caution the Yankees universe for just, you know, the assumption that we're going right back to the World Series because the American League is weak. That is on paper. That is leaning back on last year. It's not a guarantee. Somebody else will emerge. Somebody that you're forgetting about, maybe the Texas Rangers, maybe the Houston Astros, will emerge. Somebody out of the Central. We laugh at the Central, but there can be a combination of the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals, those three teams that could be competitive in our own division. I expect the Red Sox to be better. I know Tampa will figure something out. You can't count out these Baltimore Orioles and the talent they have in their farm and the talent that they have at this level. So, you know, here we go embarking on another baseball season.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Me, who else? Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. Let's get this conversation started around spring training down there in Tampa. Aaron Boone had his press conference at 1 o'clock today. Alex, go and take us through some of the cuts that we have. Like I said, there's not really anything new that you haven't heard, but maybe you missed it earlier today. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you didn't hear it. Let's hear from Yankees manager Aaron Boone, who will get an extension soon. He did speak on that as well. Go for it, Alex.
Okay, so here's the one, first one about the Dodgers and how they reacted after the World Series.
You know, you didn't hear that from the Freemans and Betts and Otanis and Kershaws and whatever the world. So, look, sometimes, you know, you're coming off the drunkenness of winning a world championship and, you know, some guys are more inclined to spout off and be a little more colorful than others, and again, that's their right. They won, and again, hopefully we're in that position and do things a little better.
BT and Sal had it first right here on WFAN The Fan in New York. They asked about it, and you know, I think to sum it up, Boone is saying, I don't understand why bench players are talking like starters. I don't understand why guys that did not make an impact had the most to say. Why are you running your mouth? So it's just in the past, man. I just want to get over losing the World Series to the Dodgers, losing Juan Soto to free agency. But we can't. We can't. I remember having a take about how the world loves to drink Yankees tears, Yankee universe tears, Yankee fan tears. They can't get enough. Let's play the next one.
All right, this one is on potential who's going to lead off for the Yankees.
I don't know. So we'll see. I really don't. I mean, you could throw out six or seven names, and I'd go, I could see that. So that's where I'm at right now on it. It could end up being a shared thing where, you know, verse left, verse right situation. Hopefully it kind of smacks us over the head, like, and become very clear at some point. But I really don't have someone in mind necessarily as, yeah, that's who it's going to be.
That's fine by me. I talk about competition, and we'll talk about the competition at third base. But I talk about how there needs to be competition in camp. These guys are alphas. They're pros. Iron sharpens iron. They need to go into spring training competing for it. And I recently heard an interview with Jazz Chisholm where he wants to be hitting in the same place in the lineup. I think he is competing to be the leadoff hitter. You may not like the idea, obviously, with, you know, his pitch selection and some of the pitches he swings at, whatever. He's got speed. He's got experience doing it. And honestly, last year, I thought when they traded for him that they were going to make him the leadoff hitter. I thought that that's what, you know, one of the boxes that he was going to check off. Do we have the next one about third base? We have the next one about the competition at third base?
Yeah, you can cut it whenever you want. It's a pretty long one, but yeah, there's one about...
play a little bit of it. We know who's competing.
It's great opportunity for somebody to grab it. DJ's healthy, which has really been the issue for him over the last couple of years. You know, he's had those things that have popped up that have really, you know, zapped, you know, his greatness. And I'm not going to put anything past a healthy DJ LeMahieu and his ability to hit. So hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he's one of those guys that kind of kicks the door in and grabs it and runs with it. We certainly know what he's capable of, coupled with, you know, being outstanding defensively. Oswaldo Cabrera is going to get opportunity to really kind of kick that door in, if you will. You know, Peraza, Vivas, all those guys that you're looking for somebody to kind of step up and grab it, or if it becomes a shared position, that's possible too. So those are, you know, some of the exciting questions that are in front of us, and hopefully we get answers to that.
All right. Good enough for me. Good enough for me. I know Yankee fans are all panicking hearing, you know, DJ's good. He's healthy. They're like, no. Why? Why do we got to do this again? He's under contract. He's a veteran. He's got relationships on the team. People love him. And, yeah, it's simple as that, man. Like, it's as simple as that as far as DJ LeMahieu getting the opportunity to compete at third base. Another report that came out today, Andy Martino put out there late today that, you know, the Yankees were never in on a trade for Nolan Arenado. And it kind of made me remember something that I forget every single year. Yankees for clicks. And, like, the Yankees' name will be in the mix with any team, any player, to drive up conversation, to drive up price, to drive up speculation. So, yeah, Martino said the Yankees considered signing Alex Bregman, but ended up allocating the money towards players like Max Fried, Cody Bellinger, and Devin Williams. They never seriously considered a trade for Nolan Arenado. And my joke on Twitter was, we got McDonald's at home. McDonald's isn't great food, but kids always want it. I want McDonald's. And then your parents say, we got McDonald's at home. And you go home, they throw in some tater tots in the air fryer. They get some Wonder Bread. They got a Bubba Burger to put that on there with some shredded cheese and throw some ketchup on it and say, here you go. This is McDonald's. Make believe. That's what we're doing with DJ and Oswaldo and Peraza. Bobby's in Belmore. What's up, man? You're on.
Hi. Before I get to the baseball, Archie Manning 2.0 has had to have no power over Myles Garrett. And the Tennessee is going to draft a quarterback. So I asked you, I couldn't hear your response. I wanted to draft Hunter, and I mentioned Will Howard in the second round, but I didn't hear your response. I know you responded. I just want to know what you think of that before I get to the baseball.
Yes, on the same lines of star power and bringing a guy in here that is already a ready-made star into New York, Travis Hunter, if you miss out on a Shedeur Sanders, or even if you don't want to draft Shedeur Sanders, you can't go wrong with a Heisman Trophy winner that plays two positions that you can figure out, you know, where you want him to play. And he's a football guy, joked about how he's a nerd and how he doesn't drink, he doesn't party, he doesn't go out, he streams and he plays video games. He lets his girl go out and he'll go pick her up from the party. So that's a perfect guy you bring to New York. He'll get him a nice little place somewhere in Jersey, and you never got to worry about him, you know, pulling a Plaxico Burress.
What about Will Howard in the second round?
I mean, yeah, Will Howard, I don't look at him as like, I don't want to say he's bad, but like, I don't even look at him as a second round quarterback. He might be a second round quarterback. I'm trying to see where they're grading him now. Obviously, he's a national champion, should be turned it on there, but there's some more talented players. And I just think for this Giants franchise, they're not going to go in the direction of a Will Howard, not in the second round. If he's hanging around and they still haven't picked a quarterback in the third or fourth, maybe.
Yeah, DJ LeMay, is his job to lose because he has all $30 million. That's why the Yankees aren't going after any other third baseman, Bregman or Arnaldo. They want him to win the job. If he doesn't, then they have a $301 million payroll. He doesn't want to spend money on a third baseman. Considering they owe DJ LeMay $30 million in the next 2 years. Now, let me get to the possessions that they got to earn the free agency. Bellinger, Williams, and I can't think of the other guy. I can't believe it. Williams and, I'm sorry, Fried have not exactly produced well in the playoffs. I mean, Fried just pitched that great 2021 World Series game against when he was on Atlanta. But ever since then, he's been getting bombed. I mean, he has a 5 ERA. He got bombed last year in the playoffs. You know, last time I saw Williams pitch, Alonso took him deep. And Bellinger hit 211. He was awful off the Dodgers in the postseason. I remember that. So, and he was really good, too. But, you know, he was... So, in addition to Judge not hitting in the postseason, I mean, I think they're a favorite to get back to the World Series because Baltimore is weaker. You know, they lost their best power hitter and their best pitcher, and the Astros lost a top five player. So I think the Yankees, elimination of the other teams, they're a favorite to get to the World Series. But there's no shoo-in that they're going to win the World Series, even with their updates, supposedly.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. Yeah, you know what? Like, it's easy to look at Max Fried and say, he's injury-prone. He got rocked. Like, he's better than Carlos Rodon. And he was arguably the top free agent pitcher on the market. And he was their planned pivot, their plan B. Shout out to C-Mac, plan B sucks. Yeah, initially when they said that they were giving Max Fried 8 years, I'm like, man, what? 8 years? But then I thought about it. I sat with it. I'm like, well, if you were about to double that and give Juan Soto 16 years for $760 million, somewhere I thought Hal Steinbrenner was never going to go. All right, give us the best pitcher on the market, a left-handed ace, to go with Gerrit Cole, because when we do get into the postseason, you know you need somebody better than Rodon in those games. And to roll out Gerrit Cole game one, Max Fried game two, guys that can give you length if they let them, pause, guys that can go deeper into the game if they allow them to. Gerrit Cole, Gerrit Cole in the World Series, game one, 88 pitches, that makes no sense. This is a guy we've seen throw 130 pitches in a game. He missed half the season. There was no tomorrow. You let him go until he can't go. Max Fried is another guy. Like, he can pitch a whole game. And, I mean, the Yankees' bullpen is stacked, right? You can cherry-pick Devin Williams and his postseason struggles. Yankee Stadium is not Miller Park or American Family Field or whatever the hell they call it in Wisconsin now. If you've been out there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a cool little, like, you know, college football type of tailgate vibe. It is not Yankee Stadium. I just talked to Devin Williams. Go to my Instagram, Twitter. Shout out to, Luna and everybody at the Pinstripe Pride event. I told Devin Williams, bro, I'm like, man, pick out the song that you want to enter to, your entrance song, that's going to rock the Bronx. And I'm telling you, like, you're going to feed off the energy of these fans. That two-strike whale, that PC Richardson. Like, this is a guy that I think has an opportunity to come in here and close games for the Yankees that Yankee fans are going to love. And that brings me to something I wanted to talk about tonight. I know it'll never change. I know that they'll never change it. But Devin Williams, he's a beard guy. He's beard gang. I think he's had his beard for 6-7 years. 2025 makes it 7 years. I saw him entering the facility today, and he hadn't shaved. You know, not everybody is Alex Verdugo, who shaved 3 months before he came to camp because he felt like he had to get used to it. And I had a thought today. I'm like, who enforces the shaving policy? Is it like someone from the equipment staff or management? Like Cashman's not coming down to say, hey, shave. Hal Steinbrenner's not. Is it Booney? Is it the manager? Does Aaron Boone say, hey, Devin, come to my office, man. Here you go. Here's the razor. Go get that done for me right now. Is it Judge? I'm like, you know how the Yankees could really shock the world? How the Yankees could really, you know, zig when they're expected to zag? Drop the facial hair policy. I know they never will. And I even used it in Aaron Rodgers, in my take about Aaron Rodgers. It's a part of a team thing. Everybody's got to do it. It is code and conduct. It is required. And it's not just required of this team. It was required of every other championship Yankee team. And everybody in baseball knows it. But it's 2025. What will it take? Like, will it take Devin Williams saying, I'm walking in free agency. I don't want to come back and be your closer after he has X amount of saves this year and, like, dominates? Like, will the Yankees reconsider their facial hair policy? I just think the more that we get into the future, where anything goes, where it's the wild, wild west, where things are happening that we never imagined happening, it does kind of feel like very old school and traditional to have grown men shaving their beards. And the last thing I'll say about it is, it's a swag thing. It's an aura thing. Like, some of these guys need a beard. Like, Drake needed a beard. Like, to shave your beard can zap a guy. And you want that guy to be at the height of his powers. I know they'll never change it. It's a George thing. Rest in peace to the boss. They'll never change it. But as I saw Devin Williams say, I'm like, he's reporting he's still got that beard. He is dreading it. And I just don't want to have that, like, psyche with players. It's kind of like, and I get it, they want to break the psyche because they want guys to fall in line. I mean, fall in the line, there's other ways to fall in line. You don't have your name on the back of your jersey. You can only wear one gold chain. I feel like at some point, like, how about, you know, even like I have long hair. People that are watching me on the stream. It's funny. I was at the Pinstripe Pride event. Someone's like, are you Devin Williams? I'm like, come on, bro. There's only one thing that Devin Williams and I have in common, and I'm like two or three shades darker than the brother. I can't have these long dreads. I can't have these long locks and be a Yankee. It's one thing to make these guys cut their hair short. It's another thing with the facial hair. I don't know, man. It is. Yeah, people have turned me, you know, people have turned me into like, hey, maybe they should change that. It is kind of getting to the point where it's like, you're not even the Yankees of old. The Yankees of old that did win championships, it was kind of like, hey, I got to fall in line with Jeter and these guys and Don Mattingly and these guys, or Mickey Mantle and these. Like, now it's just like, man, we're zapping these dudes, and their whole thing is like, You gotta look the part. You look good, you play good. You play good, you are good. You play good, they pay good. Like, I don't know. 888-808-1019. Back to the phone we go. Before we get to Yankee calls and everything else, we were talking about Eli Manning. Thanks for holding, Mike. You got it.
How you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Love your show, and you've been a great addition to FAN. I wanted to rehash something from the other night, the Eli Manning Hall of Fame worthy discussion. And I've heard people make many arguments on both sides. I want to give you my opinion. I kind of compare Eli as the football version of Bernie Williams. Bernie, are you there?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Bernie Williams is a great player, all-star multiple times, won four championships. But Bernie Williams was never not close to superstar, not even a star. Just a real fine player and very important to the team. I see Eli, as much as he's done, Eli was not he didn't scare teams, led the league in picks three different years, and never had really big numbers in this age where quarterbacks throw quite a bit. Even when he played, quarterbacks were throwing 35, 40 passes. So I think Eli, people are giving him the extra love because of the two Super Bowls. And it's not like he played great. He just happened to make two big passes, and you guys are putting all of his resume into those two passes. You know, Eli was just, you know, he was okay, but I never considered Eli a great or superstar, not at all, at one bit, never in his career. Never.
Understood.
I just want your opinion on that.
Thanks for the call and the compliment, Mike, and the comparison. I'll say this is the parallel, you know, echoing what you said, like, You know, Bernie was clutch in the moments you needed him to be clutch. Came through in the clutch. So did Eli. But then on the converse, their career statistics, when you put them side by side to their contemporaries, they don't match up. And that's enough for people to knock them down and say they don't belong. In our eyes, we remember the moments. In our eyes, they shine for us because we had a rooting interest. We forget. People hated the Yankees. People hated the Giants. People hate New York. So it didn't have the same weight elsewhere. 888-808-1019. I mean, you know, Bernie's end of career, and I love Bernie. Bernie's a man. Shout out to Forge. I always shout both of them out. One of the greatest things for me as a Yankee fan, getting on the fan, is like to like learn that Bernie Williams was listening to my show and following me, and then getting to meet him and his manager in real life, and they rock with me, and they include me in everything and invite me. That is something that, like, little Keith, you know, that dressed up as Bernie Williams for Halloween, like, that blows my mind. Like, I could cry tears of joy over that. Bernie's not in the Hall. Bernie isn't considered part of the core four, but he's respected. He's got a ton of love. I see it all the time at his charity events, autograph signings. You know, the way people ride for Bernie Williams, they might not ride for him elsewhere. I know I went to Seattle for the All-Star game, and I was wearing my Bernie Williams jersey, and one of these Seattle Pacific Northwesterns was like, "Is that a Bernie Williams jersey? I never see those out here." I'm like, "I don't know why." I don't know why. 888-808-1019. Charlie in Queens, my guy, you're back.
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
Real quick on Bernie, because you brought him up. One, I have his jersey, and my nephew has his jersey, but I'd bring out my Munson jersey when he wears his Bernie when we go to the games.
Munson also not in the Hall of Fame. Yep, go on.
Yeah, I'm personally, just real quick on Munson, he deserves a Hall of Fame. If you put him up against his two contemporaries, Bench and Fisk, the one they always push him, he's pretty equal to them. Maybe not home runs and stuff, but he ran that team. Unlike catchers today, he made the calls. He made pitch selection. He called the defense. A lot of things people forget.
No, I know it. Shout out to Thurman Munson Group. I had the honor of hosting the dinner that we honored Thurman Munson and got to meet Diana Munson. And I've been connected to those good people. Shout out to Kenny and Andrew and everybody. Like, yeah, trust me, I know. And, you know, I think the errors committee would have to get Thurman Munson in there. But as more time goes on and more names get added, like, Joe Mauer is in the Hall of Fame.
Now really go quick about the Super Bowl and all of that, which I saw the Lamar thing, and then I heard what happened in a way, so I understood why it wasn't as...
Lamar Jackson?
The Lamar halftime show?
Oh, Kendrick Lamar. I'm like Lamar, yeah. Jackson didn't even show up to NFL honors because he got snubbed the MVP. Kendrick Lamar, gotcha.
I heard he was told to water down his act quite a bit. Which I can, you know, neither either way, but
he didn't.
I can understand when you're an artist and you're told to, you know, pull back the reins a little, it is frustrating. You can't give your best performance when being told how to perform.
Yeah, I talked about it last night. I think he played into it. That whole thing, that's what Samuel Jackson was there for. Samuel Jackson playing Uncle Sam and kind of directing things and kind of chiming in like, hey, do this. Okay, yeah, now that's the spirit. Now you got it. Like, I think he leaned into that. But from what I know, like, Roc Nation and the NFL, they didn't tell him what to do. And honestly, he had hit records that I was on last night singing on the fan, and I'm like, how did he not do this song? How did he not do Mad City? How did he not do All Right? My favorite Kendrick Lamar song is called Michael Jordan. He never would do that, but, like, he didn't play the hits because he didn't want to. He wanted to send a message on that stage. He wanted to use that platform, and he did. Thanks for the call, Charlie. 888-808-1019. You know, I don't have time to get into it tonight, but if you go back in the Odyssey app and you listen to my Monday night show or you go to the podcast, we talked at length about it. Kendrick Lamar was not going to compromise getting to that stage. He probably shouldn't have been on that stage at this juncture, at this point in time. But he did his thing, and he played it so well because the internet reaction in 2025 is much greater. There was no internet reaction in 93 when Michael Jackson did what he did. But Kendrick Lamar, knowing the time that we're in, that performance was for younger people. I don't know how many videos I've seen of little kids rapping the lyrics, jumping around. Not just black kids, white kids, all nationalities. Those kids love Kendrick Lamar on TikTok. When they make a video, TikTok suggests, use this Kendrick Lamar beat. Instagram Reels, how about you use this peekaboo? Squabble up. You know what I'm saying? They love Kendrick Lamar. And then obviously hip-hop fans like myself, I knew all of those songs except for, like, that's another thing. He had some unreleased songs. Who's debuting music at the Super Bowl? Kendrick Lamar did not compromise on the biggest stage. He did not care if people liked or did not like what he did. Nobody gets unanimous love. His intent was to send a message, and now you have thousands of people making reaction videos dissecting what that message was, which will give this halftime show legs to be talked about literally for months and longer than any halftime show ever.